Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
The Sunny Show!
You're listening to the shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
OSW Review.
Antisocial. Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the Rage.
Mark Radio.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
Brainstorm Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Daddy Warpus.
Orange Room.
Warlock Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zunes, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now, here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hopefully you're okay, or wherever you are, whenever it is you're listening to this. This is Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Say, you know, tons of people in the chat, but I say, you know, always good to have more than what I have, which is, you know, it's quite a few actually in the moment. But yeah, you come to us at, was it 9 o'clock UK time, or 4 p.m. Eastern. Go morelikeradio.com/live, join us in the chat. As always, lots of fun and discussion going on. I do tonight have a semi-world exclusive possibilities, basically. But I'll explain about that in a sec. But I say, yo, do you want to contact the show? You can call in on Skype. It's Antisocial Gamer Radio. If you want to email the show, it's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. And also, if you want to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. And also, you can like the Facebook page, which is always appreciated. Got a couple more this week, which is nice. Facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And also, you can contact us on Twitter. That's also at MLRGamerRadio. Yeah, some sort of semi-world exclusive-ish news. I'll get to that first before I tell you what I've been playing. Yeah, I was having a little bit of fun today with Well, I was on the old Facebook page as usual, checking up some news and stuff like that for the show. But then I saw a post from Eurogamer going on about the new grids game done by Codemasters. And the Codemasters, people who don't know, are the ones who make the Micro Machines games back in the day. I mean, we haven't had a Micro Machines game since Micro Machines V4 back in 2006. Now, I said, you know, it's nice that we're getting this, but I'd like to see a Micro Machines game. So, okay, I left the post alone for a bit. Check back, see how many likes. Got about 4 or 5 likes. I was like, okay, we're on to something here. And then basically Eurogamer replied to my comments and said, yes, they would love one as well. So I got on Twitter. I used the old show's Facebook, the show's Twitter account. Got contacted Codemasters and the Grid's Twitter account as well. And, you know, tagged Eurogamer in it as well. And I said, yeah, blah, 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 we'd like to see a Micro Machines game, and they've said they'd like to see, you know, Eurogamers, said they'd like to see one as well. So we got a little bit of discussion going, and basically they said, well, we want to get the Grid game done first, but you never know, basically. So it has been put forward. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Micro Machines games because they're very, very fun. And you know, several other people have been sort of contacting me and messaging me saying, you know, how they'd like to see some as well. So Codemasters, they know we want, you know, they know it's there that we would like to see a Micro Machines game. I mean, it's one of the few games that I've been asking for that I would like to see a sequel to. I mean, yes, Shenmue 3 would be lovely, but a Micro Micro Machines would be a great game to play. I mean, Kenny's in the chat as well saying, you know, he says, me too, I'd love to see a Micro Machines. Micro Machines are so fun, you know, being a little speedboat, being a little car. I mean, I've got the Micro Machines Wikipedia page up for the video games. And, you know, in V4, from here, from what I'm reading from, you know, from when it was in 2006, it featured over 25 tracks, 750 vehicles, and a track editor. Now, you think about the current consoles we have today. I mean, just, it'd probably be an arcade title. I don't think it'd be a proper disc-based game, but you go back 8 years, 750 vehicles, 225 tracks. That's basically Forza back in the day. Now, you know, we could get, I mean, I have Kinez in chat as well saying, love the Snooker Table tracks. Yes, I mean, they were one of my favourite ones because it reminded me of the Tom and Jerry episode where they're playing snooker, or playing pool, I think. Yeah, playing pool, but yeah. That one, the bathtub, where you're in the little speedboats, or you're going around the garden. You know, as you can tell, I'm very hyperactive and I have been drinking. And I'll have another sip. But no, I mean, one sec. Oh, drunk show. But no, I mean, I'd love a new Micro Machines game. It's one of the classics that, I mean, we all grew up with. You know, I can imagine, you know, all the listeners to this, you grew up playing your racing games. You know, we're going back in the day, you know, 10, 15 years. We go, you know, you have your Mario Kart, and you also had your, so if you're a big Sega player, you had your Micro Machines. You know, it's one of the classic games that everyone loves, and, you know, hopefully we can get, you know, Codemasters to sort of take notes and say, well, yes, we want to make a new Micro Machines game if there's demand for it. And to be honest, if I can start a demand for it, that would be great, to be honest. I mean, you know, who doesn't want a Micro Machines game? I mean, you know, it's slightly outdated, but it is a fun party game. It's just so much fun. It could be had with tiny little vehicles. And, you know, as I said, 750 cars. I mean, I'm guessing they're still making Micro Machines because, I mean, I haven't bought any in over 10 years. But they must be still, you know, churning them out. You know, imagine how many new cars we could have, you know, 2,000. I mean, you know, how many new tracks, new ideas. You could do a whole rehash of the old ones and maybe, I don't know, like the Codemasters Studio could be a track, or, you know, there's so many opportunities, and you're basically just printing money. So, you know, Codemasters, hopefully you're listening because I've tagged you in the tweet about going live tonight. You know, give us a call. you know, call in the show. We'll have a chat. You know, get on it. And also, I'd like to see Violet Berlin as the character again, please, because she was in... hang on. I've got it. Literally, I have got the cartridge here for the game, for the Mega Drive. Micro Machines 2 Turbo Tournament. I'm literally, if you can hear that on the mic, this is got a copy of it I found somewhere, which I'm not going to say. But yeah, I have a copy of the old Mega Drive game. And yeah, can we have a new Micro Machines game, please? We, you know, there's tons of people want it. It's, you know, Eurogamer were very excited about this as well, from, you know, from the messages and stuff I was talking to him with. And, you know, it's a game we want. It's a game I want to see and I want to play. Kenny's in chat, so I always play as Spider. Yeah, I played as Violet Berlin because she was doing the big game stuff when, you know, when we were growing up. But yeah, I mean, there's tons of good characters and, you know, different cars and, you know, you know, we want something new. We do. I mean, you know, the first game came out in 91, the last one in 2006. I think, you know, 2014, maybe 2015, you know, you give us a PlayStation Network or an Xbox Live Arcade game out of it, you know, just give us a Micro Machines game, we'd all go nuts. You know, it would be the geeky fanboy, the sort of the classic old school gamers. You know, I mean, we have games like, oh, excuse me, sorry. That's the alcohol. We have games like Dark Souls, and it's very old school, you know, one life sort of thing. Well, except you're immortal in Dark Souls, but you know, you have your one life, and it's basically, you know, yeah, Kenny's in chat. Carmageddon Micro Machines. Yeah, Carmageddon would be a good one to play as well. I mean, I never played them, but I've, oh shit, hitting the mic. But I never, you know, never played, but I heard they were really good. But yeah, Micro Machines. So many different things, so many different vehicles, so many different tracks. That's the whole thing. I reached out a little bit to the you know, Ultimate Sidemen. I'm always watching their videos, and Simon, he favourited my tweet about, you know, because I said to him, I like to watch the Ultimate Sidemen playing some Micro Machines, and you know, he favoured it. I thought that was pretty cool, and you know, we could do with a Micro Machines game. It'd be so awesome, and tons of fun. I mean, I could sit here playing hours and hours of it, you know. But yeah, it's just make sure Micro Machines, it's, you know, people talk about GoldenEye as one of those multiplayer, you know, party games, but I think, to be honest, Micro Machines was one of the first, you know, real party games. You know, get a whole bunch of controllers around, just plug it into your Mega Drive, and then just, you know, just play and play and play all day, basically. But yeah, I mean, just, I'd love a new Micro Machines game, and hopefully, you know, I've put up a flag, say, yeah, we want some demand, we want, you know, can you get on with it, can we have it? And, you know, Eurogamer is, you know, it's the biggest gaming website in the UK and parts of Europe. It's, you know, they've said, yeah, we'd like one too, so it's, you know, Codemasters have taken notes, so hopefully we should be able to get one, which would be great. But yeah, that's my little Micro Machines rant over with. But yeah, I'll go into what I've been playing. Not too much, usual bits and pieces. You know, I mean, I get my PlayStation 4 in about 5 weeks. Can't wait. I want to get, what's it? Oh, shit. Trials Fusion. I want to get that for my PlayStation as well. So I'll be playing that as soon as it comes out, as soon as I can get it, and as well as Watch Dogs. But so what I have been playing, Final Fantasy X. I finished it. I was sort of messing around with it, to be honest. I mean, I was going around collecting the ultimate weapons. I think, yeah, I got most of them. I got... the ones I weren't going to get was Lulu's, which is, you know, I had to survive the... what the hell was it? The lightning strikes 200 times. And I was like, yeah, and that's... I went and fought the boss that you have to fight when you go and get Anima, the final Aeon. So I fought the boss, got a weapon that had, basically, so you equipped it, you couldn't have any battles. So it was like, basically, you just, like, go from here to the end. Kinesis in chat. Yeah, Watch Dogs, hopefully still coming out next month. I'm hoping so. Otherwise, you know, I just cancel my my pre-order and just buy a PlayStation 4 anyway. But yeah, hopefully it is coming out and there shouldn't be any problems. I mean, I watched, like, some 40-minute video, which is basically a sort of compilation video of... video we've already seen and gameplay and stuff mixed together. And it just looks so good, and I just can't wait to play it. It's going to be so much fun. But yeah, you know, Watch Dogs is going to be really good. But yeah, I say, what was it? Yeah, so basically I got the weapon that gives me no fights. So I went back to the Thunder Plains and tried to do the, you know, avoid 200 lightning strikes. No. I think I avoided one, and then I just kept getting hit. I mean, I went on watch videos and, what the hell was it, like, on videos on YouTube, like, trying to work out how to do it, and it just wasn't happening. So I'm like, bugger this, because this isn't going to work. But, I mean, I did get most of their weapons, and then I think it was, what the hell was his name? Shit. Kimari. I got his weapon, and I got one of his, I think I got his crest or something, yeah. But I couldn't get his sigil, which basically I had to go win the butterfly game in the Macalania Forest like twice. It was just Marianne's in chat. Hiya, big sis. But yeah, no, I tried to do the butterfly game. It was so fucking tricky because it's like, I mean, yes, the graphics have been you know, it's all HD and stuff, but there is no placement of where you can see the butterflies. I mean, they're there. But it's so hard to judge because they are so small. And even though I have a massive screen TV, it's still hard to judge where they are. So basically, I kept running into the red ones because you've got to catch the like, seven blue ones. And that just wasn't happening. So I'm like, bugger that as well. I was trying to go and get whackers, but I sort of stopped and just tried to finish the game. And I did. But no, who else doesn't get... I think those are the ones I didn't get because I got everyone else's. I got Yuna's and Tidus. I didn't get his one because it was like win the Chocobo race with like 0.0 seconds, and I was like, no, fuck that, can't be arsed. But yeah, I got everyone else's and just sort of went to the final. But literally, the final bosses were quite simple. I just equipped the no fights weapon to one of my characters and just sort of ran through to the bosses and sort of looked up sort of, you know, guides on how to beat them. Basically with what I had and just did it and kept going and going. Got to the final boss. You can't die. So it's basically just it was a bit much a battle of attrition. It was, because I mean, you couldn't die, but he kept healing himself. So basically you had to hit him with stronger attacks than he could heal himself. And basically the boss fight before you used all your Aeons and they were destroyed. So you couldn't use them. So basically, I had to sort of bring out my more powerful characters, and it was sort of like put enough boosts into the characters themselves. Give them strength. Give them haste, and because basically, one of the things I've noticed, and it's really really weird. Whenever you play these sort of roleplay games, JRPGs, you get these great spells. For Final Fantasy people, I'm talking about. Like Doom, which, sort of death, instant death, or death after five turns, and there's, like, Demi, and, slow, stuff like that, all the ones that sort of basically make your opponent easier to beat. But as soon as you come across a boss fight, it's like, yep, immune, I'm like, what the fuck? It's like, you give me all these powerful spells, and they're just immune to it. It's like, what's the point? It just, it's a waste of damn time. But, I did finish it and seen the ending in HD, and it does look, it's really good. It's like, wow, this is really emotional. It's been like 12 years since I completed the game, and it's like, wow, this is really fun and good. And, I'm sort of glad I finished with it, because now that I have finished it, I'm not going to go back and play through again. I mean, I've played enough games of Blitzball to basically keep myself going and happy with it. But yeah, it's really really fun. I'm glad to play it again. It's one of those, because I have been very nostalgic. And, it is because my PlayStation 4 will be turning up in a few weeks, and I will start playing more games on that. But yeah, I'm just sort of having some fond memories with bits and pieces. I mean, to be honest, I was just thinking that literally there's no games on my PlayStation 4. On my PlayStation 3. So it might as well be best to just sell my PlayStation 3. I don't know how much money I'll get for it. It's a bit knackered, maybe £100 or something. But it's all well and good. But no, I say, yeah, Final Fantasy X, it's all pretty much done. I'm not going to go through Final Fantasy X-2. Mainly because I really can't be arsed. I mean, I didn't get into it the first time, and I don't really see the point of me trying to do it again. But I did go on YouTube, which I have been using a lot recently. I did go and watch the HD remastered ending, like the secret ending for 10 and its normal ending, for 10.2, sorry. Yeah, the secret ending and the normal ending. So I'm like, yep, that's brought me some closure on the game. Now it's basically just sitting on my bookshelf, waiting to be sold. But yeah, I got this. I found a tweet from Nintendo. It's like a picture. It was like one of those QR codes, and it said, you know, scan this to get a demo of Mario Golf World Tour on the 3DS. So you know me, always for a freebie, you know, because the best things in life are free. But yeah, it's really, really good. It's Mario Golf. You know, Mario's done so many different sports, and you know he's done golf before, and this is basically the 3DS version of golf. You know, it's weird with Nintendo. It's like, you know, every console that we've ever had that's had a Mario game, it's like, yep. And you know, literally, I mean, what I'm going to say is literally not new. It's basically what gaming channels on YouTube, what gaming podcasts have said for years and years, when it comes to Nintendo. It's basically, yep, Mario plays golf on the Game Boy. He played golf on the Game Boy Advance. He played it on the Wii. He played it on the Wii U. He plays it out on 3DS. He also plays tennis and cricket and rugby and American football. You know, it's basically the same old shit games that Nintendo puts out on every single console, year after year, basically. You know, there's always one tennis game per console generation. There's always one Mario Golf game per generation. You know, stuff like that. But yeah, it's fun. The graphics are pretty good. I mean, I had a look on Amazon just before the show started. It's a good price. I'm not going to pick it up straight away because, I mean, to be honest, I do want to get Mario Kart because I do want to get my my racing on. But yeah, I say it's fun. I mean, I played as, I think, several different characters. I played as Mario. You know, of course, you've got to play as Mario. He was okay. I played as Peach, which was good. And Yoshi, I think Yoshi was my favourite, to be honest. I think it was like the better mix of power. And I don't know, maybe it's just because I got used to what I was trying to do. I mean, it is a bit tricky because it was like there's a bit where, you know, you hit the ball. Because I think there was like using the stylus to do a click motion. And I got where I wanted, and then it basically at the bottom screen where the touchpad, you know, the touchscreen is, there's like a little box and it's got the ball in it, and you can sort of flick it to put some spin on it when you get a perfect shot or whenever you get a shot. And I was thinking I was doing that too much, and it sort of clicked onto a bit, and I clicked a replay. So basically, I didn't watch the ball land. I just sort of went to a replay of it, and I'm like, well, just skip this because there's no point watching it, and sort of skip through most of that bit like that. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I think there's like three different courses. It was like, I think it was like Yoshi. I don't remember two of these, but I do remember one. Peach Garden was there, which was quite fun. Yoshi Lake was what I do remember playing. That was quite fun. It was very patchworky, sort of Kirby style, you know, thing. But it was good. Yeah, there was quite a few obstacles. I was a bit worried because there's like, you know, with the Mario games, like the normal Mario games, there's like blocks in the air that you have to jump on. Well, there were sort of blocks like that in the air as well on the course, and I was worried that maybe the ball might get stuck up there or hit it, or you know, if it hits it, you know, head on, it will sort of drop straight down. So you basically have the ball hasn't gone as far as you'd like because there's obstacles in the way, which adds to the gameplay factor. But yeah, I mean, those other ones I think I did play was Peach Garden and the Seaside Course. Basically, it's all the courses that you get on the game. Right? I don't think it was the Seaside Course. Maybe it was like the Forest level or something. But I think, yeah, it probably was the Forest level. But I mean, just they're really good maps and it's a lot of fun. Yeah, I mean, I probably will pick it up eventually because, I mean, I do like a bit of golf. And, you know, a bit of golf on the go is pretty good. But yeah, I mean, it's your Mario, it's your golf, it's the standard thing. As I say, you know, as I said before this little bit started, it's like, you know, Mario plays, you know, different sports in every console he comes out on, and you know he's playing golf again on the 3DS. But yeah, it was really fun, actually. You know, I do like it. I might give it a go because, I mean, most demos, they give you like 30 goes to have a 30 times to have a go. This one gives you 10. So I've got like 9 attempts left. So I'll just play it a couple more times just to get, you know, have a feel with it. You know, I'll just tide me over for a little bit until I do, you know, actually get round to wanting to play it. But yeah, I mean, it was fun and enjoyable. I did bits and pieces with it, but, you know, it's golf. You know, I mean, I'm not sure if it's going to detract from me buying the next Tiger Woods or whatever golf game EA puts out with whatever title or whatever golfer is, you know, flavor of the month or I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, one of the main things I did buy, because I did talk about this last week and how sort of nostalgic I am being at the moment and sort of stuff I want to play. I went and picked up Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots. Yes, I'm glad to be playing this again. It's really, really fun. And this time it's got trophies, which was a bit of a shock to me because, I mean, I started up the game and installed it and, you know, it came up something about an update, so I buggered out, so I just sort of skipped it because I weren't that fussed. But then I found out it was like trophies. I mean, I don't really give a monkeys about trophies. I mean, I do care about Xbox achievements, and I did, but I mean, to be honest, I've got, you know, so many. It's a decent enough score to have. I'm not that worried about it now, but trophies aren't a big thing for me. You know, I'm not too fussed about them, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to, looking forward to seeing the ending with all the different trophies that I will get and, you know, see how I do. But yeah, no, I sort of went to my local game and picked this up and told about the show and gave my business card. So hopefully, guys, if you're listening, thank you. But yeah, I mean, you know, but in there, it was quite quiet. It was I think they literally just opened. So I was like, okay, great. I want to go in there and get my game and come home and spend the rest of the day playing Metal Gear Solid, which I did. And it's sort of, in a way, getting me ready for the new Metal Gear Solid, you know, for Phantom Pain. And it sort of helps fill the need of me wanting to pick up Ground Zeroes. Because, I mean, I did want to pick it up, but there's so many walkthrough videos, and I think Eligible Monster, they've done their video of, you know, basically about the whole story through the game. So I'm like, okay, I'll watch that. I know what happens. So pretty much no point me buying it. But I mean, this does fill my my Metal Gear Solid need at the moment. Sorry, I had a quick swig of beer. But yeah, I mean, it is really good to play. I mean, it's really good to have, you know, to play as Solid Snake and hear David Hayter's voice again. You know, even though, you know, it still feels weird because you're not playing as young Snake, you're playing as old Snake because of, you know, his rapid aging. But yeah, it's really good to sort of, you know, play the character that I, you know, grew up with, hearing his voice. You know, even though, you know, it's weird. He's, you know, he's still as you know, still really, really young. He's only, I think, early 40s. I'm just like, well, this game originally came you know, this game came out like in 2008, but you know, you think about Metal Gear Solid on the PlayStation was it 95? But yeah, I mean, you know, how young he was doing the voice then and how he is now. But yeah, it is really, really good. I'm sort of keep restarting, to be honest, because I want to do this and I want to do that. But I mean, I'm sort of all over the place with it, to be honest. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. But no, I mean, I've been looking up like, not trophies, but items that you can get, like the bandana and different camouflages and what I need to do. And I'm like, well, okay, if I do this on this playthrough and that on that playthrough, and I was like, I'll just do a normal one and try and get, because it's basically what I tried to do today, was like a normal playthrough without being detected or anything, like, you know, not killing anyone. But I'm like, nah, it's not going to work. So basically what I'm going to do now is just do the easiest difficulty and then go for it that way and try and not get caught so I can get the bandana and not kill anyone so I can get all the different camouflages and, you know, have fun with it that way. But I mean, I'm not too fussed about doing bits and pieces. It's one of those, it's sort of like it's a closed in open world game. I mean, the first stage is basically the Middle East, which, you know, I talked about last week when I talked about sort of favorite locations in games. But yeah, I mean, you know, the Middle East, it's really good. And, it, you know, so many different routes that you can go around to get right past your enemies. And then, you know, I actually did basically what something I didn't do before when I started played it, you know, years ago. Because, I mean, I remember watching this in the videos. I think, wow, how good is this going to be? It was the when there's that militia that you see throughout the game taking sides. I mean, I've been taking the sides of the rebels. I'm not too sure if you can take sides of the PMC, considering they're pretty much trying to kill you anyway, I think. But yeah, I mean, it is a lot of fun. I mean, I will have to try that, you know, just do a separate playthrough and try and see if I can kill all the rebels and sort of be on the side of the PMC. Because, I mean, Otacon tells you throughout the beginning of the game, says, it's, you know, it's side A versus side B, and neither one of them is your enemy or your friend. But I mean, I did get friended by the rebels, but, you know, taking out all the PMC troops, destroying several of their armored tanks, and, you know, it was good. I mean, they gave me items like I saw in this walkthrough many years ago. But yeah, I say it is a lot of fun to play this game again, and, you know, it is sort of giving me that sort of feel of my Metal Gear Solid fix with the stealthy, stealth. I mean, it's weird. It's weird seeing how. I mean, I'm trying to sort of make comparisons between Metal Gear Solid 4 and what we have now with Assassin's Creed and that sort of stealthiness. I mean, because neither game is super stealthy, but you can play them sort of super stealthy. I mean, the whole, you know, when it comes to like Assassin's Creed, you have the synchronization. You know, you go to the menu, say, well, you should have done this, you should have not been seen by this character to get 100% on this memory, and you know what I'm talking about, that sort of stuff. And do you know, it's the same can be done with Metal Gear Solid 4 with the emblem system. Basically, you go around and, basically, you just sort of avoid detection and you avoid killing people, which is basically you get the tranquilizer gun and you just, you know, tranquilize all the people that you come across. But yeah, I say it is a really fun game, and I am really, really glad to be playing this again. But yeah, I mean, there's so many more ways and fun that I can have with this game before I am actually done. But yeah, I say nothing really else I've been playing, to be honest. There's not really much out there. I mean, there's stuff coming out here and there. I mean, we've got, you know, was it April? We've got, you know, 2 months now until E3, and then we find out basically what we're going to get the rest of the year. But yeah, I mean, hopefully this year we're going to get some decent stuff and, you know, find out about bits and pieces. And I mean, you know, I'm going to go straight into the news, because there is no real, no main topic tonight, because I couldn't really think of stuff. But I mean, I am thinking about doing bits and pieces on other topics for later shows. But I mean, there's been so much good news this week that it's like, well, bugger it, I might as well just do like a news heavy show and, you know, talk about stuff that I've seen. And, you know, we'll take this one, for example, the new Alien Isolation game. I mean, I'm looking forward to this, but it does have me a bit worried. I mean, it's you know, it's shaping up to be a really good game from what people are saying and what I'm reading on websites. But I mean, it does have me worried. But I'll say this is from CVG. This is how Alien Isolation stays true to Ridley Scott's film. Now, I watched the low sci-fi trailer for this, and they were talking about how the film was, how the technology was, you know, and it was sort of how they said, you know, how the technology from the 70s was portrayed in the film as it's hard to explain. It's basically, yes, it was the future. Yes, it was future technology, but it was still grounded on a basic level of how technology was in the 70s. I think that's the best way I can describe it. But yeah, it was really good how they said about how it will look in the game with basic same stuff, which is good, because this isn't, it's not, it's basically set between the first Alien and Aliens. And it, you know, basically we're not going to get, I don't think we're going to get too many of the guns that we got in, In Aliens, basically. We're not going to get probably not get the power armor thing, or you know, half the stuff we saw in that film being it said that it was like 50 years in the future. I mean, we might, because this is what you play as Ripley's daughter, probably sort of halfway through her life. I mean, I think she died at 60, I think it was. They had Aliens on the other day, and I was watching it was talking about her daughter. I was like, well, this is interesting because we have Aliens Isolation, which basically is about her daughter. But, you know, I'll go into this article. The Creative Assembly has released a new Alien Isolation developer diary video outlining how the game stays true to Ridley Scott's Alien. Art lead Jude Bond said, in order to stay faithful to the source, we set ourselves a rule that we wouldn't build anything that couldn't have been built on the original set in 1979. Everything in our game conforms to the retro future aesthetic. This is basically what I was saying. This is the video that I saw. UI lead John McKellen adds, the first objective was to strip back the UI as much as possible. For the on-screen elements that we do have, we had to look at a lot of options and try to recreate the softness and fuzziness that the technology of the 70s presented. The technique that we found most effective was to take gameplay footages and UI elements and record them onto VHS tape and play them back through an old portable television. On its way, we would distort the cables and stamp on the tape to generally destroy equipment in the process. Once we got that back into the game, we found that it didn't look... we found that it didn't just look authentic, it was authentic. I can't wait for this game. I really can't. I mean, I was excited for the last one, and basically everyone panned it. I want to play an Aliens game. I mean, it's... I mean, I'm sort of wondering how they're going to go with it. I mean, I'll finish off this... I'll just finish off this article. I think it's nearly done anyway. Yeah, that's pretty much it. That is basically the whole article. But yeah, it's like... I want to play something. I mean, I am worried about how this is going to fit in with the movies. Because, to be honest, I liked all the movies. I mean, I did like... people hated 3, the one where basically, you know, Ripley lands on the... You know, it's the one where Ripley dies at the end. I liked that one. People didn't like it with, you know, the bull alien. Winona Ryder. I thought that was okay. That was decent enough, you know, sort of Ripley clone alien thing. I'm looking forward to seeing how this all fits in, how, you know, Ripley's daughter and ends up where she is. I'm guessing she goes sort of looking for her mother and, you know, but it's weird. It's like, you know, Ripley was floating in space for 50 years and then gets picked up and, you know, and her daughter goes looking for her and doesn't see her, and it's one of those things. I mean, you know, I know space is awfully big, but they seem to be on the sort of same lines of trajectory that they're all eventually heading to around, you know, the planet and the spaceship, and, you know, we'll wait and see. But I mean, just, I am looking forward to this game. Hopefully it will be as good as it looks. I mean, I've seen footage from that video, from the old developer diary video, and it does look really, really good. And I'm looking forward to playing it. I'll go into some E3 stuff because I've got a whole bunch of stuff here. Electronic Arts E3 2014 press conference dated. Now, I mean, yeah, I know it's only like a couple of months away, but you know, you'll want to get your information in beforehand so you know everything. Event to be held at the Shrine Auditorium on Monday, June 9th. So basically, it's like a month and a half. Was it 8 weeks? 7 weeks, I think, now, till E3. Electronic Arts has confirmed the time and date of its E3 2014 press conference. The publisher told IGN that it's to host the annual E3 showcase at the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles on Monday, June 9th, 2014. The EA press conference will begin at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which would be about 9 o'clock in the UK. So that'd be good then. Basically, hopefully they put it up somewhere and I can watch it. Maybe do like a stream on YouTube or something, and I can sort of watch it and take notes and you know, talk to you about it on the next day. But yeah, I say I'm looking forward to seeing what they've got to offer, and you know, it should be interesting. Traditionally, EA, Microsoft, and Ubisoft all hold their E3 press conferences on the same day. At last year's E3 press conference, the company revealed a number of new games, including DICE's Star Wars Battlefront, Mirror's Edge 2, and PopCap's Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, which I think JJ is a big fan of. EA also showed off Titanfall, which is fucking selling shit tons. And I do want to play it. I'm just not in a hurry at the moment. Need for Speed Rivals, which I think did shit. And Dragon Age Inquisition, which I think there's a whole lot of buzz about. I mean, I don't know if it's... I haven't read too much on it, because I've literally seen a lot of traffic coming from various gaming websites, from EA themselves, saying about how they're trying to really push Dragon Age out. And... Well, I'll probably be honest, I played the first one. My mate played the second one. Didn't like it too much. But I was like, if the reviews are positive for this one, I will pick it up. Because, I mean, I did love the first one. I thought it was really, really good. I mean, that's the whole point. I liked the first one, but I didn't like the second one because of the whole setting. It was like setting a castle. And that sort of popped me off. But we'll see how it's like with this one. I mean, you know, I did like the first one, and all the DLC was fun, all different characters. It was a really, really good game. But I say we'll wait and see, and if it is still good enough, I'll pick it up. But yeah, so also it's lineup of next-gen sports games being built with the new Ignite engine. But yeah, I mean, I say when I was watching, was it The Ultimate Sidemen? I was watching Harry, I think his YouTube channel is WSA. But yeah, he was like playing FIFA. And it looked so good. I think it was on the Xbox One. But yeah, it looked really, really good. And, you know, I wouldn't mind. I haven't had a FIFA game for, I think, didn't get the recent one, but I got the one before it. I think it was 2013 I picked up. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind picking up the next one or the World Cup edition. But, you know, I might. I don't know. It depends how good it is and what we get. I mean, I'm not in a massive need for a football fix. But... You know, I would be interested in seeing what it looks like. But yeah, I've got let's try and find some others. I have got a whole bunch of E3 news, which I really want to get to. One second, here we go. Yeah, now this is a games at E3. This is from IGN. Basically, it's a whole bunch of list of games that could be coming out, could we not, could might not be seeing there. But yeah, it's like for the yeah, all the consoles, all the things. But I'll run through this list, and I'll go through the ones that we have got confirmed as well as the ones that we haven't. Alien Isolation, yeah, that's been confirmed that we're going to see. Stuff we haven't been confirmed is the new Assassin's Creed, you know, Comet and Unity. Batman Arkham Knight hasn't been confirmed, but Assassin's Creed and Batman, I definitely think we're going to see it because, you know, Batman comes out at the end of this year. Battlefield 5. I don't know if we're going to see anything on that one. We might. Below, I'm not too... I think I know what that is. I think I know what that is, but I don't know off the hand what it's all about. I know I've heard about it. Borderlands, the pre-sequel. We must be hearing something about that. I think that's supposed to come out at the end of this year. Call of Duty, that's been confirmed. Civilization Beyond Earth. Now, I'm an arse, right? I know I should be looking into this game, but I haven't at the moment. There's a lot of hype and a lot of happy feelings about this game, and I really should be, you know, getting around to have a look at trailers for this and the information I can get, because you know, I like the Civilization games. I never played them, but I've heard positive, very good things about them. But you know, I will have to look this one up. Deep Down, which I know what that is. That's the sort of medieval. We got the demo for it. Not a demo, we got the trailer for it last year at, you know, with Capcom did their little press thing. It's the medieval swords and sorcery, dragons, that sort of stuff. I think that sort of game. That looks really good. And it's coming on PlayStation 4, so, you know, that's a win-win for me. Defense Grid 2, which I think I know what it is, that's that puzzle thing, I think. I'm not too fussed about that. Destiny, which has been confirmed. I can't wait for that. It's weird, right? I am so positive and happy for Destiny. But there's a lot of people out there sort of poo-pooing it already. It's like, you know, I want this game. I want it to be good. I want it to be, you know, really, really interesting. And I want it to sort of be my, what people, Halo is for, you know, 360 gamers. I want Destiny to be my sort of everything, you know. I want it to be my sci-fi first-person shooter. Because I was like thinking about the other day for the topic, maybe like, it, not really topic, it was like sort of stupid thing. It was like, what games would you create that you could like see genres and mixes? And I was like, well, I'd love to play a first-person sci-fi shooter. And I'm like, well, hang on, it's called Destiny. And I'm really hoping it is what I want it to be. Because, you know, I mean, Rage was sort of what I wanted it to be, but it was so short and short-lived, basically. Dragon Age Inquisition, that's confirmed as being, we'll see. The Evil Within, I think that's definitely going to be, it's not confirmed here, but I'm definitely think we're going to see it, because I really want to play that game as well. It looks really, really scary, and I could do it with a good scare. Evolve, I'm looking forward to playing that. Hasn't been confirmed, neither has Far Cry 4, which we don't know too much about. This sound of it's set in the Himalayas, could be fun. Hopefully it's going to be as good as Far Cry 3 was. Game of Thrones by Telltale, that's going to be the old point-and-click story adventure. Dennis would love this. I mean, I'm not the biggest Game of Thrones fan. It's kind of boring. I got 7 episodes in, and I got bored. Gears of War 4, we might see something. It's not confirmed here. I don't know. Probably not. I don't think. I mean, I'm confused now with the whole Gears of War stuff. It's like, well, you know, there's probably no spoilers at this time. I mean, they killed all the locusts with a big giant genocide wave, and literally there's like no land to live on, and it's all ocean, and you know, unless it turns into water worlds and trying to search, trying to find dry land. But what else can you do with Gears of War? It should have been left. I mean, you know, left back with the Xbox 360. But, you know, Microsoft might be talking about it. We don't know. But, I mean, other things, Halo 5, you know, Microsoft as well. Probably more than definitely going to see something about that. Hatsune Miku, that's been confirmed. It's for PlayStation 3 and PS Vita. I'm not really too sure what the hell that is, but could be interesting. Hyrule Warriors, that's the Nintendo fighting game with Zelda, and not been confirmed, but we might see something. Kingdom Come Deliverance, not been confirmed. Kingdom Hearts 3, that hasn't been confirmed either, but the amount of buzz that's circulating at the moment for Kingdom Hearts, we're going to have to see something soon on that one, because people love Kingdom Hearts. I mean, I think I've said this several times on the show, I've watched the Eligible Monster videos on the story of Kingdom Hearts. I am so fucking confused on what the hell that's all about. It's weird how convoluted it is. It's fucking worse than Metal Gear Solid. But yeah, that'll probably be talked about to me, even though it's not confirmed. Legends of Zelda for Wii U, that's been confirmed. Madden 2015, we're bound to see something on that. Mad Max, probably going to see something. It's not confirmed either. Mass Effect 4. Now this, I think it's still too soon, to be honest. I mean, chance if we are going to hear anything, if it's not this year, it probably should be next year. Or if we do hear something this year, maybe we'll get like a fall winter release for it next year. Or if we do hear something next year, it'll probably be sort of springtime 2016, I think, that it might be released. Metal Gear Solid Phantom Pain, nothing on that one. Doesn't say confirmed or not, but We're gonna see something before, we're gonna get some trailers before, you know, the game comes out at the end of this year. Middle Earth: Shadow of Mordor, that's coming out soon. Nothing, it's not confirmed, but we're probably gonna see that as well. What else? So Mirror's Edge 2, Monster Hunter, it's gonna be confirmed. How many more have I got this? No Man's Sky, nothing on that. Oh, Order 1886, I'm looking forward to something on this. We'll probably see something. It's not confirmed either. Persona 5, Project Spark, Quantum Break. Neither of these are confirmed, but we're probably going to see something, because basically these are big PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3 titles. These are the things that people want to see. Sims 4, I'm not too fussed about that. Skylanders, yeah, whatever. Star Wars Attack Squadron, Star Wars Battlefront. I mean, I'd love it if we saw something from Star Wars Battlefront. I mean, all the fanboys would go nuts. They got the Star Wars Visceral Project. You know, I talked about was it the writer from from the Uncharted Studios. She was moving over to work on that. They might talk a bit about it, but I don't think we're going to see any footage. It's still, I think, far too early. Sunset Overdrive, I mean, we got a trailer for that last year. They should be talking about stuff like this year. Super Smash Brothers, usual bullshitty trailers from EA, from Nintendo. We'll get that. Tales from Borderlands, Tom Clancy's The Division. Tom Clancy's The Division, I'm hoping we're going to get some more depth and bite to. I mean, we got that sort of walkthrough last year. And I definitely want to play that when it comes out. I know Matty wants to get that. I know we're both going to play that together. But yeah, that's going to be a really good game. Ultra Street Fighter 4, that's been confirmed. It's like, well, it's Ultra Street Fighter 4. And there's so many fucking Street Fighter 4s. Just make a Street Fighter 5. And give me my bloody Tekken Cross Street Fighter game that I've been after for a couple of years now. Uncharted, we're going to get something new on that. Hopefully a trailer. I mean, I don't know how far along they are on working on that. The Witcher 3, Wolfenstein New Order, WWE 2K15. And these are pretty much not confirmed, but we're bound to see something. But yeah, I mean, there's so many decent things coming out that I want to, I want to play and experience and, you know, looking forward to seeing trailers of. What else have we got? Let's have a look. I think that's probably it on the E3 stuff. I had a whole bunch of stuff that I wanted to talk about, but... I think that might be it. One second. Let me just have a check. But, yeah, so I am looking forward to E3 this year because it is, like, the first full year that we would have had our new consoles and, you know, everything else. But, let's go into some talk about The Last of Us. There's been a bunch of sort of news going on around that at the moment. You know, last week we talked about, you know, maybe there might be a sequel. But, I mean, one of its lead artists has left, basically. So, Nate Wells takes position at Unfinished Swan Dev. The Last of Us lead artist Nate Wells has departed Naughty Dog to join the Unfinished Swan developer Giant Sparrow. Wells confirmed on his Twitter accounts on Sunday that he had left Naughty Dog after a year and 8 months at the studio. Before joining the Sony-owned developer in 2012, Wells worked at Irrational Games for 13 years. This was on his LinkedIn profile. Says, "This I'm reading from his Twitter. Says, seems to be some threads here. Yes, I have joined the wild, wacky, ultimate, brilliant folks at Giant Sparrow. Yeah, basically, that's it. It's a goodbye, and here I am in 140 characters. But yeah, Sony has assigned a 3-game contract with Giant Sparrow, starting with The Unfinished Swan, meaning Wells' work as an art director will continue to appear in PlayStation-exclusive titles. However, this exit from Naughty Dog marks a third high-profile departure from the studio in 2 months. Uncharted series director, here we go, Amy Hennig, she left the studio in early March to join on the EA Visceral, says, She'd worked with at Naughty Dog since the days of Jack and Daxter, though she was quickly hired up by EA Visceral to lead the work on its unannounced Star Wars project. But I don't get that. It's unannounced, but we know about it. So, you know. Later in March, PlayStation 4 game director Justin Richmond left Naughty Dog after 6 years. He took a position at the League of Legends developer Riot Games. Sony said that the next Uncharted development timeline will not be impacted by Hennig and Richmond's departure. There's plenty more, you know, people where they came from. It's weird how many, people are leaving, sort of, you know, not leaving the sinking ship, but just sort of leaving everything, really. I got some... This is some Last of Us new DLC. Got some DLC news for you. Scroll too fast again. Last of Us. This is from IGN. Last of Us new DLC Grounded. Today, Naughty Dog detailed its new DLC and likely final DLC of any kind for its critical and commercial smash hit, The Last of Us. It's called The Grounded Bundle and aims squarely at those who play the Last of Us stellar multiplayer modes, though there's something special in there for single-player advocates too. Now, this caught my eye because, literally, I mean, I don't have the game anymore. I think I sold it, but I never bothered with the multiplayer because it was like I didn't see the point. It's, you know, it does feel like a very sort of single-player game only. So I was like, well, bugger it. I might as well just, you know, keep it with the old single-player. But yeah, so this bundle is only for those with a season pass. If you want to buy the pieces of bundle piecemeal, you can do that too. Pieces will be detailed with each component explained below. It says, if you're still playing The Last of Us campaign, Grounded Mode is for you. It's an all-new difficulty setting that significantly ups the ante. The AI is relentless, smart and brutal, and survival will be near impossible. Completed Grounded Mode might be one of the most difficult trophies you'll earn, writes Naughty Dog. Naughty Dog's Eric Monacelli. There we go. Grounded Mode only costs just under $5. Next up are the four new maps for The Last of Us multiplayer, collectively called Reclaimed Territories. The four maps are called Wharf, Capital, Coal Mine, and Water Tower. The Wharf is where Joel encountered Robert in the campaign. Capital is set in Boston, while Coal Mine is set in Colorado. And finally, the Water Tower is located in Lincoln, Pennsylvania. And is perfectly close, perfect for those close quarters melee thing, you know. But alone, these maps will cost you just under $10. There are all, there are new guns. A Spectre is a silenced assault rifle that's great if your style is stealth stalker. Double Barrel is a classic deadly double barrel shotgun. The Enforcer is a high accurate pistol, while the Launcher is a weapon that fires small explosives. Buy them bundled together in the Survivalist Weapon Bundle for just under $6. There's a whole bunch of stuff on this. It's, you know, finally, there's not one but two survival skill bundles. The first bundle, situational survival skills, can be purchased for just under $4. It includes agility, climb, vault, and move while crouching faster than you could before. Awareness, see enemy name tags before they see yours. Fortitude, you'll take longer to bleed out, crawl faster, and have more health when downed. And Scavenger, which automatically picks up ammo and supplies. The second bundle is called Professional Survival Skills Bundle, and it can also be purchased for $4. This bundle includes Gunslinger, spawn with more pistol ammo. Bomb Expert, your bombs will explode more quickly. Executioner, and more parts for shiv kills and special executions, and damage marker automatically mark any enemies you hit. In addition, every player of The Last of Us season passes, holders or otherwise, will receive a brand new weapon for free of charge called the Fort Auto Rifle. Naughty Dog has yet to reveal the release date of this gun or any of the aforementioned DLC, but we hope to have it have that for you soon. There's a bit more. And oh yes, this DLC and another DLC that we're already out will be included in the PlayStation 4 iteration of The Last of Us called The Last of Us Remastered. So that's pretty good. That was my main thing. It's like, will it be in the Remastered Edition? Yes, it is. So, I mean, it does give me more of a reason to sort of want to buy the sort of Remastered Edition. But I don't know if I will or not. I mean, it's one of those things you definitely want on your to have. But you must, I might as well just wait until it's been out for a while and then it's like half price. Because it's you're not going to play it consistently. It's not like me with Metal Gear Solid. It's like there's not so many different ways to go through it. I mean, it is sort of one big slog and challenge throughout the whole game. But I mean, yes, The Last of Us is a really good game. And it's one I love playing. It was really, really good. But yeah, so it's probably time for me to take a break. I mean, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that I want to talk about as well, but I will go on that after the break. There's just tons of, like, I've got like sales numbers, and I think I just found some Naughty Dog stuff, so we'll talk about that with some Uncharted. But yeah, I'll say I should be back. We'll be back rather in about 10 minutes after these messages.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest's ear off?
Colorado Dickhead said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric, what do they don't have? What do they have, a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down
it
there?
It was Monsignor Hendrix who did it. I just made that up. Thanks, Colorado Dickhead.
Father Clapton. Goes ape shit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes ape shit in church. Now that's a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
No one going Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
The Conti and Kenny Show. Monday nights, 7 to 10, on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay per view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at CZWrestling.com. That's CZWrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the drunk say?
On your fuck. Oof. Ah.
What the drunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises.
Blah, 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 blah.
I can't understand what.
What does the drunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place. Okay. Oh, let me excuse me.
What the drunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the drunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at AdamandEve.com.
Please, Chim Pokemon dolls are so last week.
What? Yeah, dude, don't you know? It's all about the Chim Pokemon video game now. Did you bring your special Chim Pokemon game controller? Huh? No.
Oh, you didn't get a special Chim Pokemon game controller. Jesus Christ.
Chim Pokemon, what is primary objective?
To destroy the evil power.
I've got to buy all the Chim Pokemon so I can destroy the evil power, huh?
Damn it.
I've got to buy them all. So first I'd better go to Hawaii and visit Pearl Harbor. Go! I must buy them all!
We must buy them all!
Try to bump the Hava!
So the video game gave Kenny a seizure! Ugh, this game rules!
Welcome back, everyone, to the second hour of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Yeah, so before the break, I did say I have some Uncharted news for you. And some, well, EE3 stuff, Uncharted, you know. PlayStation 4 Uncharted 4 gameplay may be revealed at E3. This is from GameSpot. What do you hope to see? Industry insider says Naughty Dog will show off gameplay during... gameplay during events in June and claims that the game has been in development for 3 years. Well, I'd hope so. I mean, as I say, since the last one finished, they should all be working on the game. I mean, I say Uncharted is one of my favourite series that's out there. It says, we're fewer than 2 months away from seeing the new Uncharted game for PlayStation 4 in action. According to industry insider Tidux, who have... accurately leaked PlayStation news before. Writing on Twitter, Tidex says, Uncharted 4 gameplay at E3. Game has been worked for 3 years, basically what I just read to you. The only official Uncharted 4 media release to date is the trailer that we've got, though we have seen some motion capture pictures. It wouldn't be much of a surprise for Sony to show off one of its marquee franchises during... arguably one of the biggest events of the year. But still, until we hear directly from Naughty Dog or Sony, you should take this sort of information with a grain of salt. Naughty Dog has announced the new and yet still untitled PlayStation 4 Uncharted game back in November. Since its announcement, director Justin... Yeah, here we go, yeah. Basically, it's the same stuff I just read you before the break. Justin Richmond, Amy Hennig, and Todd Stashwick all left the project to join other companies to pursue other passions. Tidux also wrote on Twitter that I hear a lot of mixed signals when it comes to Drive Club right now. No further information was provided about the status of Evolution Studios' upcoming racing game. Officially, the project is scheduled to release later this year. E3 2014 runs from June 10th to the 12th. Though Sony is expected... Wow, that's a really short one. I could have sworn it was a lot longer in previous years, but yeah, it seems quite short. But yeah, E3, it's going to be fun. I sort of wonder if it's going to make or break any of the big any big consoles or big companies, and I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what we're going to get. Here we go. This is something else from Sony, but about the PlayStation Now stuff that we're getting. PlayStation, sorry, this is from CVG. PlayStation Now enabled Sony TVs launching in June. New Ranger 4K TVs priced between $2,100 and $25,000. Sony has announced plans to launch their first range of PlayStation Now-enabled Bravia TVs in North America this June. The Bravia 4K Ultra HD TV lineup consists of nine models priced between $2,099, which is a 49-inch, and $24,999 85-inch. So basically two of Joe's cocks. Users will be able to connect DualShock 3 controllers to the TV to play streams PlayStation 3 games. Revealed at CES in January, PS Now will initially stream PlayStation 3 games and other platforms to follow to PlayStation systems, Bravia TVs, and in future other Sony and non-Sony devices. Sony will launch a service in North America this summer. It's been reported that PlayStation Now Europe launch won't occur until the first quarter of 2015. Which I'm not too fussed about anyway. PlayStation Now will enable customers to rent individual games or pay for full library access via a yet-to-be-confirmed subscription fee. In mid-March, game rental options were spotted on the US PlayStation Store, seemingly confirmed that the service will let users stream rented titles for seven or 30 days. So basically, if you get a nice holiday, you know, get it for seven, knock it out, done. For low latency, high quality gaming experience, Sony recommends that PlayStation Now users have the 5 megabytes per second connection. That's pretty much the end of the article. Yeah, fucking hell, these new I mean, I've heard literally. I wouldn't mind getting one of these 4K TVs because of the picture quality I've been hearing about. But I mean, to be honest, there's nothing. I mean, I'm happy with Lidjump because I've only just broke my last TV and bought myself a new one. I have no interest in breaking this new TV to spend basically the price of a holiday, you know, on a new TV. I think that's pretty much it for the main Sony news. There's some stuff on the PC that I wanted to talk about. Now, this is something I've been looking at. I'm very jealous of all the PC gamers, all this PC Master Race bullshit that I'm hearing about, mostly from the PC fanboys. But yeah, Star Citizen. Now, I'll say in the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/MLOG Gamer Lobby. I put a trailer a little while ago of the new Star Citizen sort of game demo thing that we got. But yeah, this game looks amazing. I mean, I was talking to someone on Facebook the other day, and it was like, it'd be so good if this came to console, and then someone said, well, it won't come to console because it's such high spec to run. And then I pointed out the fact that they said that about Crysis, and we got Crysis come to Xbox Live Arcade, and then we had, you know, I mean, but that was only recently, but we've had, you know, Crysis 2 and Crysis 3, all great games, come to, you know, home consoles. But yeah, Star Citizen joint. Star Citizen tops $42 million crowdfunding milestone. New features to be added after a further $2 million is generated in 1 month. Space MMO Star Citizen has generated over $42 million in funding, according to Cloud Imperium Games. Studio founder and Wing Commander creator Chris Roberts set up a Kickstarter for the game in mid-2012 with an initial target of $500,000. The total raised by the fund funding drive's conclusion was $2,134,374. Cloud Imperium has since continued to raise funds on the Star Citizen website by selling additional spaceships and other virtual goods priced between $25 to $200 per item. The initial has generated $2 million in the last month alone, with a loan taking the total to $42 million. To coincide with the new funding milestone, Roberts has announced that the following features will be added to the game. Update observist guide. Additional funding from the $42 million level will go to expanding the website area of the Galactipedia expecting you to see holographic ships, items, navigational interface in 3D. Imagine admiring your ships or planning your loadouts right here at the RSI website. Explorer class, Moby Glass rig. Every player who backed before we hit 42 million will start the game with their own visually distinctive Moby Glass Exoglass rig, which can be used to access the Observist at any time. It says, I've changed the Moby Glass team with a... charged the Moby Glass team with a very difficult task in creating a realistic interface that will keep your affairs in order in an expansive galaxy. It's also likely to build your own fiction in build your own in fiction operating system for imagining a future, and it's a very difficult task that building spaceships. This backer exclusive Moby Glass kit will come preloaded with additional galactic information, where new players would all need to explore or barter to fill out. Gladius, the Squadron 42 team will develop an additional fight for the game. The Aegis Dynamics Gladius class light fighter. This will. Whole bunch of. I mean, this. I'm just reading this stuff, and it just seems so amazing. Like, yeah, you're getting a new ship, new sort of basically an encyclopedia, and it's like this is all. What I'm hearing is I was talking to that guy on on the Facebook about this. It's like, yeah, it's nice that you've got all this money, but it's like, yeah, can you bring it to bloody consoles? I mean, my high hopes with Destiny. It's going to be like this. This is what I want to see with Destiny and the new Star Wars Battlefront game. You know, if anyone's out there seen the footage that we got, the leaked footage that what basically Star Wars was going to be like, that we could jump in an X-Wing on a planet, and then just fly out into the atmosphere, out into space. But, I mean, this game is one of the ones that you're going to keep an eye on, and, you know, all PC gamers, you're going to want this. But, as I say, that's what's said as well. It's like, you know, the price it costs to keep your gaming PC up to scratch, and it's like, how much is this game going to cost to run as well? You know, the high chipset and all the cards, and, you know, I mean, I know they'll probably talk about this on Rage Quit Radio, but this is going to be one of those games. It's going to be very expensive to keep it going, I think. But yeah, here we go. I've got some Nintendo stuff. I've done me Sony stuff. I've done me old PC stuff. And we've got some Nintendo stuff. Here we go. This is from CVG. It says, I want to challenge myself, says Metroid series director. Sakamoto says, new ideas are essential to future work. Veteran Nintendo designer Yoshio Sakamoto has said he would like to satisfy fans of the classic franchise he's worked on in the past, but also challenge himself to take them in new directions. Sakamoto-san, whose latest title in the unique 3D social sim Tomodachi Life, which I'm actually interested in picking up, has worked on 9 previous Metroid games, usually as director or producer, including the 1986 original. How old is this guy? Holy shit. Because I was looking at a picture of the guy. He looks quite young, you know. 1986 original and all the flagship SNES, GameCube and Wii successors. Did we get a Metroid game on the N64? He has also worked on the likes of Kid Icarus and Balloon Fight. However, since 2002's Metroid Fusion, Sakamoto has moved predominantly to a producer role, overseeing experimental series such as WarioWare, Rhythm Heaven, and only briefly returned to the director's seat for 2010's Metroid Other M. Speaking during a reveal event for Tomodachi Life, Sakamoto was asked by CVG whether he would continue to work on the franchise he's most famous for. Basically, it goes like this. CVG asks, in your Tomodachi presentation, you mentioned your mission to create the game that moves the industry forwards. Does that mean you will not turn to the more traditional game series that you're known for? Sakamoto says, I do not intend to do so. There might currently be various tasks I might be involved in with past series. So basically, we might be getting a Metroid game. However, even if so, I would always like to introduce new entertainment and new fun to those series. I would like to satisfy fans of those series, but also working with other talented individuals. I would like to create entertainment that's completely different, that brings new emotions. I would like to challenge myself in those unique directions. This might be indirect, but if we can make new types of gamers enjoy video games for the first time through Tomodachi Life, then they might eventually become interested in the more conventional games. I think we need to ensure that video games remain attractive to consumers, and in order to do so, new concepts and ideas are important. I would like to challenge myself to do that. Despite Metroid and Tomodachi on paper displaying wildly different ideas and approaches to game design, I mean, Tomodachi Life, it looks like it's basically a sort of second life for your friends. If I can, it basically sort of takes you sort of your me characters, the little me's that your avatar things, and basically sort of puts them in their own little world, and you control what happens and stuff. It's very fun. But, I'm waiting for some reviews before I actually do bother picking it up, because I am interested. Because, I was a big fan of, Animal Crossing, New Leaf. That was pretty good. I'm told by many people that I have developed many different types of games over my career, but I think this is solely because I was able to partner with many different people with many different talents. Although the types of games are different, what I think is the same for each development is the process of deciding which kind of emotions we should bring to the players. When we think in that manner, many approaches of game development are actually the same over different types of games. I think in the end, what is most important to hospitality towards consumers, when we develop games, we always think, what do we have to do that makes players happy or satisfied? Tomodachi Life is due for release on the Nintendo 3DS on June 6th. I like his train of thought. I really do. And to be honest, hopefully Nintendo has taken note of what he has said. And I like where his head's at when it comes to games that we're playing, that games that he wants to make for us. I mean, I probably have to do this as a topic, like for in the chat in the Facebook group, to see other people's, if their sort of train of thought is a similar sort of thing. Because I mean, I'd love to know, what we think developers are thinking when it comes to creating our games. What do they want to give us, and how well it reflects on basically what we play? I mean, I'd be very interested in hearing lots of other people's thoughts when I do come to do that. Maybe that might be next week's topic. I don't know. And I've got a bunch of I've got a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, I'm looking for really sort of trying to build my way up to E3 and talking about that. But yeah, what else? Other stuff. I've got some other Nintendo news, because there's a whole bunch of here we go. I'll do something lighter, because I know I've got like a heavy topic for Nintendo coming up in a second. This sort of eShop stuff. US Nintendo eShop update: Super Mario Bros. 3 and Golden Sun. Nintendo brings platformer Super Mario Bros. 3 to Wii U and 3DS Virtual Console this week, along with a host of other classic titles headed to the US eShop. The games cost just under $5 across both systems. However, it must be purchased individually for each Game Boy Advance RPG. Game Boy Advance RPG Golden Sun and Racer F-Zero Maximum Velocity also arrived exclusively for the Wii U, which sucks balls, because I was like, if that's on the 3DS, I want to pick it up. 8 GBA games are planned to release on the Wii U Virtual Console in April. That's just bullshit. It's like, GBA games, just put them on the fucking, what do you call it? On the eShop as well, for the 3DS. Here we go. Lego The Hobbit arrives on the Wii U eShop following a bricked reenactments of the first two films in the fantasy series, and several individual games arrive on the Wii U and 3DS. See, the Lego The Hobbit, they should have waited until all the films were done and then sort of, and then just sort of brought it out then. Lastly, Ubisoft cuts prices on two of its biggest Wii U releases, Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag and Zombie U. Here's the full official list. Virtual Console on the Wii U and Nintendo 3DS. Super Mario Brothers 3. I think that's pretty much it for the free, for both of them. And yeah, it's Super Mario. I mean, I had a look. I was tempted to pick this up. I might. I don't know at the moment. Sort of see how money is in a few weeks. Virtual Console on the Wii U will be Golden Sun and F-Zero Maximum Velocity. Lego Hobbit. And they've got sales as well on Classic Games Overloads. Yeah, bunch of stuff. Yeah, that's about it, really. They talk about sales and stuff, and it's literally, yeah, you get Super Mario Bros. 3 and Lego The Hobbit and Golden Sun, and that's about it. It's not very, well, positive, you know, but it seems interesting anyway, so at least. Yes, where's that other thing? Here we go. This is from Games Radar. It says, stop exploiting your most loyal fans, Nintendo. I'm looking forward to seeing how this pans out. Nintendo has some of the most beloved franchises in the world and has a massive library of games that fill me with nostalgic memories that cover my entire gaming life. That's basically the reason why I, along with millions of other fans, are willing to purchase the company's games multiple times on multiple systems. This is like what I said earlier about Mario World Tour. It's like, yeah, it's golf on the 3DS, like it was golf on the Game Boy Advance and golf on the Wii, and, you know. Beat on the collector's edition disc, downloadable virtual console purchase, or a 3DS remake. Games like Legends of Zelda: Ocarina of Time have won me over with every new repackaging, as long as as the re-release is relatively affordable. Nintendo can have my money in exchange for those classics. Now, if only Nintendo gets this whole multi-platform digital download thing right, without any weird exceptions or complications. But yeah, I mean, it's just... I'll carry on, read this article for a bit. But today, the beloved Super Mario 3 is available on Virtual Console for both the 3DS and the Wii U. Sounds awesome, right? An amazing classic game on the current Nintendo system. That's perfect. Definitely something I would put my money on. But let's imagine that I have both consoles and I play the game on the 3DS. It would be perfectly reasonable to assume that I can also play the game linked through my linked Nintendo Network ID on my Wii U console as well. But if I give it a shot, it won't work. Why? Well, it seems Nintendo wants me to purchase the game for both systems for full price. In essence, I need to pay twice for the same game on a linked network system. And yeah, he's just, I think this article, sort of, the guy's sort of bitching about the fact that it basically doesn't have what Nintendo has with the transferring. With, you can have, you know, you can play the game on your PS. It is kind of a slow burn, because it's like, well, Nintendo does this sort of already with the Wii U, with its, you can play your game on the big screen TV, or you can play it on the little tablet thing, your tablet controller. But yeah, I can understand why this guy's saying he's a bit pissed off with Nintendo for doing this sort of shit. Well, sure, Nintendo's not making as much money as they want to be. I mean, the Wii U isn't, you know, it's not selling. Basically, I mean, I was looking at some numbers. 70,000 units were sold, I think, last month or something, and it's 140-something units on the 3DS, 2DS, and, you know, 3DS XL combined. But I don't know. But yeah, I mean, Nintendo is so behind when it comes to this sort of shit. You know, that, I mean, they have no clue whatsoever. I think it's pretty much it for sort of Nintendo stuff. As usual, there's never really anything with Nintendo. It's, you know, it's a bit shitty as usual. But this is something I wanted to talk about, this, you know, sales numbers. Sony sells 7 million PlayStations 4, but what about Microsoft? What a difference a console generation makes, huh? 6 months into the launch of the PlayStation 3, Sony had barely cleared 3.5 million units. And today, less than 5 months after the PlayStation 4's global launch, the hardware manufacturers announced the global sales of over 7 million PlayStation 4 systems. That's an impressive number, particularly given all the Debbie Downers that say consoles are dying. Consoles aren't fucking dying. Usually that's pretty much said by PC gamers, but, you know, fuck them. But it does make Microsoft's relative silence on hardware sales feel deafening by comparison. Why aren't we hearing similar stats about the Xbox One? Let's explore the most obvious assumption first. Microsoft doesn't have any good news to share. If the company has sold over 7 million Xbox Ones by this point, you can bet there's a press release about it. Instead, Microsoft hasn't had much to say about the Xbox One. Xbox One sales since in January. That company has sold about 3.9 million next-gen consoles. That was a total that was already trailing behind the PlayStation 4 all the time. The lack of official updates from Microsoft feels even stranger, given that March saw the launch of Titanfall, the Xbox One only major exclusive for the first half of the year. The game had a huge advertising budget behind it and reviewed well. But there's a conspicuous absence of the usual glowing PR announcements that follow games of its size. I expect to see press releases saying Titanfall boost X1 sales such and such percent. Or Titanfall is the fastest selling new IP, blah, blah, blah. But I haven't seen anything of the sort. Again, my mind just naturally jumps to the conclusion that the lack of good news means Microsoft has kept the bad news to itself. Let me just scroll through this thing. It's just not too much. I was like, because I do have numbers of actually how much the Xbox has sold. However, the timing of this news could be something bigger than the console wars, the PlayStation 4 versus the Xbox One. Battle is just two giant corporations are going through. Massive restructuring. Sony's more so than Microsoft. Sony received recently made some drastic changes, including selling off its PC business along with its offices in Tokyo and New York to try and post a profit of the physical year. The company even sold off its stock in Square Enix after Sony had been a major shareholder for over a decade. These are moves made by a company in need of capital and positive buzz. The announcements of high sales for the PlayStation 4 could have less to do with Sony posturing towards Microsoft and more Sony trying to impress the investors. PlayStation 4 success is some of the best news that Sony has had in years, so why not shout it to the heavens? And it's embarrassing that the silent competition at the same time, all the better. Whatever Sony's reason, the ball is in Microsoft's court now. If the Seattle-based manufacturer was holding back awesome sales news about Titanfall until now, the company needs to start shouting about it. And it's if the home of Windows is starting to trail behind Sony by a wide margin, it better be for Microsoft to be honest about the situation, embracing its underdog status. Microsoft has been digging itself out of a hole since the Xbox One was announced, and I think it will get out fast if it wasn't working hard to hide. Underwhelming sales, but I do have numbers. Just if I can find the right fucking document. One sec. Where is it? I had it. Because literally, I mean, from what I've been hearing is like, you know, Titanfall has been doing really, really well. Where is that number? There we go. Yes. It's sort of not exactly the good numbers, but they're sort of okay. Xbox One, this is from CVG. The article I just read came out for the 16th. This one came out like 2 days later. Xbox One shipments exceed 5 million. Apparently, 311,000 were sold in March in the US. Yes, here we go. More than 5 million Xbox One consoles have been shipped to retailers since the launch, since the system launch in November, Microsoft announced Thursday. That's up more than a million from the 3.9 million consoles reported it shipped in 2013. Microsoft said that I'm just trying to do the calculations in my head. Microsoft said that 311,000 units were sold in the US in the month of March, putting the latest system 60% ahead of Xbox 360 at same point in their respective life cycles. Okay. Yes, even more important to us is how much fun you are having on the Xbox One. Xbox VP of Marketing Strategy and Business, Yosef Mehdi, said in a statement, it's amazing that Xbox One fans are spending an average of 5 hours per day on Xbox One and collectively have totals more than 1 billion hours of total time spent in games and apps on the console. I should get myself a calculator and sort of point that shit out. You know, if everyone's spending 5 hours and, you know, 5 hours a day, and then divide that and divide that. I should actually be able to get a number from it. But yeah, it says spent in games and apps on a console. Sony reported Thursday that it sold through more than 7 million PlayStation 4 systems as of April 6th. It's important to note the difference in terminology. Sold through denotes units purchased by consumers, whereas sold in indicates the units shipped to retailers. That means the whole thing. Remember me months ago saying about how the Kinect was basically a lot of shipped units and sold to retailers. Not exactly sold to customers, but sold to people like GameStation. GameStop, all the EB Games, all those sort of companies. NPD confirms that PlayStation 4 outsold Xbox One in the US in March, the third month in a row. Still, Xbox PC exclusive Titanfall claimed the top spot for the US retail sales last month, and Microsoft reports an average of 2.9 games have been sold per Xbox One console. So basically, everyone has a copy of Titanfall, and what else is the big Xbox? Oh, probably Dead Rising or something like that. Dead Rising or Forza, that's my guessing. But yeah, I mean, I just sort of thinking, it's like, so I take from that, would say they've sold 5 million units, 5 million units are in actual, retail shops. I reckon, I think you're looking at about 3 or 4 million units sold, I'd say. Possibly. Altogether, I reckon. I'd say about 3.5 million units, I reckon, are sold to actual gamers. And there's like, 1.5 million units in stores. I mean, I know I can go down my local shops and pick up a Xbox One whenever I wanted to get it. But I think it's the thing. It's very good for Sony that, PlayStation is selling so well. But I mean, it was still early days. I mean, it's only 6 months since we got the console. There's nothing super spectacular that's, people. I mean, for Microsoft there is, for the Xbox One, Titanfall, people will want to pick that up. But there is no real console exclusives. I mean, the big numbers we're going to start seeing will happen as soon as E3's finished. I mean, once we get all that out and the trailers are out and the games are out and we know what it's out and we get. We get people like CVG, IGN, Kotaku, Giant Bomb, all those people writing up their articles, and I'll be doing my little, adding my 2 cents. Sales will start picking up because people will say, well, that looks pretty good. I want to pick that. That looks pretty good. I want to get that. And people basically sort of, they who will have waited will say, yeah, I'm definitely getting that because that looks good. But we'll wait and see. Let's have a look. I've got some Titanfall stuff here. 1 second. Here we go. Microsoft. 1 second. Yes. Talk about Titanfall. This is from IGN. Titanfall developer toyed with dragons, aliens, and zombies. These insane ideas didn't get very far. Before Titanfall's early ideas at Respawn Entertainment included a demon invasion. Batman with guns, basically military men shooting rockets at dragons. Playing as an alien fleeing the government, which I think we've had that. That was the little grey alien game. I can't remember, was it Mass Destruction? Or I can't remember what the game was called. But these concepts, as detailed in the final hours of Titanfall, rarely proceeded beyond written pitches. Some were a piece of art to prove a point. But it was the development team... development team's process defining Titanfall. Scroll further. Made Men, a concept Respawn ditched after seeing Deus Ex Human Revolution got farther. It was about a squad of soldiers who genetically modified their abilities by swapping their limbs. Oof. Respawn killed the idea when it saw Human Revolution at E3. Additionally, before the team arrived at using Valve's Source Engine and considered Unreal Engine, had EA's Lord of the Rings Conquest and the Saboteurs tech handed their way. Eventually, Respawn settled on the Ratchet & Clank Lunar Engine and started building a shooter called R1, which designers eventually built levels for in the Source. R1 featured robots called Titans fighting soldiers and was prototyped as a single-player game with scripted sequences similar to Call of Duty. Well, not surprising. Most of people, you know, from Respawn were with... God. I'm really failing on this point. With... hell. You know, the people who made Call of Duty... My mind's slightly going a blank. It's getting late, I think. But yeah, I said that, you know, they were with the people who did Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2 and, you know. But yeah, I mean, but I mean, a whole bunch of Titanfall stuff here. It's like, you know, the origins of Titanfall. It's all really decent stuff, actually. Here we go. I mean, because they were talking about the game being cancelled. Here we go. This is from CVG. Titanfall encourages designers to try new things, produce hopes. Bloody ads. Drew McCoy talks about inspiring creativity in AAA space. Titanfall producer Drew McCoy hopes the game's game encourages more creative thinking among developers. McCoy told GameSpot that the games industry has a bad habit of replicating games that are popular without understanding what made them successful. That has led to some really colossal failures. So I hope that what Titanfall does as a gamer and someone who wants to see the industry get better and make more make cooler stuff is to try new things and not just try and copy what's good. Ultimately, the industry will continue creating games based off of games that have worked. But McCoy thinks Titanfall's success, despite lacking traditional features like a single player campaign, may open up room for experimentation beyond Respawn Entertainment. People are still trying to make the cinematic 5 to 7 hour single player. They're going to make the multiplayer, maybe co-op that sandwiches in between. McCoy said they're going to throw 600 people at it and do production values for production value's sake. But what I hope it's done is opened up designers to new things. Designers to try new things. Respawn director Steve Fukuda revealed earlier this week that the studio plans to improve the frequency and transparency of its update schedule. Titan knows our customizations are some of the several content updates planned for the game. But yeah, it's nice that, you know, they are proud of what they have built and what sales we're getting for this. Basically, they're sort of going through the roof, and they're, you know, only thing pretty much selling the Xbox Ones at the moment. One second. I've got loads more Titanfall stuff. Here we go. Yeah, even in Japan. Titanfall makes top 10 chart debut in Japan. While Vita leapfrogs 3DS to lead weekly hardware sales, Titanfall has debuted at number 9. On the Japanese software chart during the week that ended April 6th. The Xbox 360 version of the game was one of six new releases to make the top 10, with the PlayStation 3 and Vita versions of Namco's third Super Robot Wars Z heading the chart. On the front hardware front, weekly sales of all platforms declined, but Vita managed to leapfrog 3DS to claim the top spot after Nintendo's handheld suffered a sharper drop. According to data from retail monitor Media Crates, which was republished by NeoGAF. Here we go. Weekly software sales and lifetime. This is Third Super Warrior. Oh, wait, it is called Third Super Robot Wars Z. Jigoku Hen for the PlayStation 3. So it was 142,000 units. And that second one, why did they print it twice? For the Vita, PlayStation 3 did 142,000 and the Vita did 128,000 units. Yo-Kai Watch for 3DS did about 33,000 units. Mario Party Crown Shin-Chan, I'd love to play that game. Did about 16,000. Metal Gear Solid is at 11,000. And Titanfall currently with just over 10,000 units sold, which
is good. That's on the Xbox 360. But yeah, I say that's not bad. You know, it's at least it's doing something. I mean, just Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes is it's not really sold that much, to be honest. It's only 11,000 units. It's like not the greatest thing, but I don't know. It's only this week, but you know, it's still selling. I just think it'd be more of a big thing, to be honest, out there. What else we got? Let's have a look. Let's sort of wrap the show up a little bit. I've got one of these poll things here. Games where the bad guy wins. This is from Games Radar. Games Radar have been putting out a lot of these sort of poll type things at the moment. I mean, I've been on this site all day, and it's literally like top sevens and top tens and, you know, this sort of stuff that I do like, you know, reading. Nice Guys finished last. Hang on one sec. Just checking this. Nice Guys finished last. The Good Guy. Hang on a sec. Yeah, The Good Guys don't always win. Although video games often represent an idealized version of life, where good triumphs over evil. Oh, this fucking thing keeps scrolling down. It's pissing me off. Where good guys triumph over evil and everyone ends up happy. There are several notable examples where the good guys definitely win. I'm not talking about possible scenarios where the it's actually written here, it says baddos, come out on top. These are games where it happens every time. There are no jolly alternative endings There are no jolly alternate endings to be found here. This top seven also mostly makes reference to specific games. I know that throughout the course of most series, the good guys usually win, and they do in several of the franchises referenced here. But in these specific games, evil triumphs, and here's nothing you can do about it. This will feature a bunch of spoilers, by the way, so, you know, be warned. Singularity, they've got here. I mean, I played this. This game was amazing. In Singularity, you have a choice right at the end. You can shoot Demichev, the scientist who invented the time manipulation device. Barisov, the military guy who wants it, or both. Alternate endings. But I didn't get... I specifically say these games... these games with alternatives don't qualify here. Liar, well, at least these took three endings. Yeah, Singularity was an amazing game. And, you know, I had fun with all of the endings. I got them all. So it's shoot Demichev and Barisov. Barisov eventually recovers the TMD, which he uses to enslave the world. Bad shoots Barisov and your character Renko allies with Demichev to rule the world. Several years later, Renko and Demichev grow suspicious of each other, and a bloody civil war ensues. A bad shoot both of them, and Renko uses the TMD to enforce his will on the now chaos-gripped world. He eventually becomes Hitler. Bad, the lesson here, when you have three arseholes dictating the fate of the world, getting covered in shit is inevitable. But yeah, I mean, Singularity, really good game. If you can find it, pick it up, play it, it's really good. Number six is Castlevania, Legacy of Darkness. Most games end in a draw, mutually assured destruction, or a very slender win for the power of good. Take Lords of Shadows, for example. Yes, Gabriel defeats Satan, but he becomes Dracula. He's unlikely to get a painting in the... what's that say? Uffizi, for his efforts. However, it's Legacy of Darkness takes prize as Castlevania games with the biggest bad guy win. I'm looking forward to the new Castlevania. Hopefully it's more easier than the last one. Transformers the game. I admit this one refers to the Decepticon portion of the game, but players an Autobot and its flowers and puppies and pretty girls dancing in the fields. When Optimus Prime defeats Megatron, saves the Earth. However, the reverse happens in a Decepticon campaign. Here, Megatron slays Optimus Prime and takes the Allspark for himself. The Allspark, once activated, turns every electronic device on Earth into a Decepticon. Megatron can then use them to these newly formed minions
to enforce his will, and in instances wiping out humanity and leave Earth a dead, barren wasteland. I want to go actually look at the ending for this when I get a chance after the show. Diablo series. Diablo likes to make the player feel like they've won, even though when they often haven't. The whole Diablo series is perhaps the best example of the bad guys winning the overall war, while the good guys snatch victories at the end of each game. The original Diablo, for example, the hero sacrifices himself to trap Diablo in a soul stone forever to stop him overruling the world. However, Diablo 2 quickly reveals that this is a futile move. Yeah, and sure, so I watched the Eligible Monsters videos on the whole Diablo series, and yeah, it's basically, you know, Diablo always wins, even when, you know, you think you've finished the game. Number three is Modern Warfare 2. Okay, it's on a personal level, the good guy snatches a victory in Modern Warfare 2. Yeah, because you stab the guy in the eye. Shepard dies, Price lives, happily times. Sadly, the small win in a world full of losers. Before passing away violently, the corrupt Shepard manages to trigger a devastating war between America and Russia. One that he has already killed thousands of civilians and demolished the White House. What's more, Price is forced into hiding and Makarov escapes. A double kick to the nuts for the team. Good. The whole of Modern Warfare 3 is spent attempting to clear up the mess left by the bad guys in Modern Warfare 2. And the world is such a much shittier place after the US-Russia war. The good guys do win in the end, but Modern Warfare 2 is the classic Empire Strikes Back middle story where evil is very much on top. Anyone else feel as if Price should have been frozen and cut? Nah, fuck off. Bloody Star Wars references. But yeah, I mean, I hated Modern Warfare 2. The game was shit. Mainly for the way the story was. It was very fucking Red Dawn. You know, didn't want to, you know, go down that road. Yeah, here we are. Red Dead Redemption. John Marsden just wants to leave his past behind him. Sure, he was an outlaw in the past, but he's a family man now. Throughout the game, he tries to do the right thing to make amends for his past deeds. But he's a good guy, so when he gets gunned down at the conclusion of the game, main game by Edgar Ross and a bunch of his men, the bad guys are definitely winning. Yeah, basically. And then when you get past the credits and you start playing as your character, as John's son, and he takes revenge on the guy who killed his father, and that's pretty much it. Yeah, I mean, Red Dead Redemption is a great game as it was. It's like one of the worst sort of endings because, you know, the character that we loved so much dies. Number one is Halo Reach. The normal team is doomed from the start of Reach. We already know that because of the company destroyed Reach and pursued the Pillar of Autumn to the Halo Ringworld, triggering the events of original Halo. We know that ultimately humanity wins the war. However, that Reach doesn't mean Reach is ending any less crushing. Yeah, but the bad thing with Halo Reach was the fact that their deaths were so shit, basically. It was, you know, I mean, the woman there with the one arm, you know, she died. It's like shot in the head. But I mean, you know, anyone plays Halo, you have shields and stuff, you know, energy shields around your suits. It's like, what? Yeah, she was like shot straight through the energy shield, straight through the head. It's like, why? You know, if she did turn the shield off, why would you turn it in the middle of a battle? And, you know, even while you escape and keep the stuff up just in case you're ambushed. And I don't know. But no, I say, you know, it's sort of pinnacle when, you know, the good guy dies at the end. But I mean with Halo Reach, I mean, I did like the big battle at the end. It was literally you versus shit tons of Covenant, and it's you just trying to take them out, really. But yeah, this wraps up the show for another week. Don't forget, coming up next, we have Alcohol by Volume with Kevin, then you have Unsigned Hype, and then you probably have Ham and Royce again, with you know, Dutch still being in prison. I mean, I'm having tons of fun doing Dutch memes of him in prison as well. Did a few more today, and, you know, it's tons and tons of fun. But yeah, so next week will probably be a topic I will post in the Facebook group. And, you know, if you want to go there, it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. If you want to email the show, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. And also, you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. Also, follow us on Twitter @MLRGamerRadio. And this pretty much wraps it up for me this week. And I will see you lot again next week. Take care, people.
Actually brought anything to the table?
Oh my God, yeah, what a sure. bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy
a
shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate or good.